The singer of the Powerola song is Joe Clark of Rochester Junior High, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Power and energy have become topics of compelling concern in this day of dwindling and expensive resources. The kind of power this program is about, though, is people power, and that's been a compelling concern from caveman days on. How to get it if you don't have it, and how to keep it if you do. You've all heard those expressions, she can wrap him around her little finger, and he's eating out of her hand. Mm-hmm. Those are power expressions. I have here with me today Joe Clark, who is the Powerola from Rochester Junior High. He was in our play, The Endless Pavement, and Laurie Garrison, also from Rochester Junior High, Carol Cleverton from Grant, Laurie Slewinski from Calvary Lutheran, Lisa Pauley from Ursuline, formerly of Little Flower, and you three are all from Springfield. And we're going to be talking about power. Well, we're born into a world of power. The adults are powerful. When you guys are babies, you're not. And as all of us grow up, we learn ways to gain power even while we're little and weak. Remember Brer Rabbit, who succeeds over brute force with cleverness? Or even if we aren't clever, it really isn't long before we grow enough so that there's somebody that's smaller. Big brother kicks us, we kick smaller brother, and smallest brother pulls the cat's tail or steps on ants. Why? Everybody's smaller than the rest. Why don't we hear some power stories? Laurie, why don't you start off by telling us the power in The Endless Pavement? Who's the boss in the world of The Endless Pavement?
The Great Computer Mobile.
And why is he the boss? Or it?
Because he controls everybody in the play.
The one that's got the power, that can call the shots, that can tell everybody what to do, that's the boss, and that's the way it was in The Endless Pavement up until what?
Up until the main character, Josette, threw an apple at him.
And how did that stop him? It messed up his computer, didn't
mm-hmm.
it? And in the length of time while his computer was messed up, why, then she was able to finish him off with a wrench. And then the people got the power back again from the Great Computer Mobile. Well, how about some power examples that are a little closer to home, or at least for right now?
Well,
this is Carol.
Okay. When we're in band, usually at a performance, people file in and everybody remains standing until usually the first chair oboe tells them to sit down. But since we did not have an oboe, because our band is not that large, I was chosen to make them sit down. And so everybody filed in, we're all standing up, and the director is still out of the auditorium. And I got up there, I could tell them when to sit down. Everyone was sort of fidgeting, so I just sort of sat there. And it was sort of neat, knowing that I really could have made them stand up there a lot longer, but she wanted me to make them sit down. So I made a little motion with my hands, and everybody sat down.
And that was a great motion of power, wasn't it?
Yep.
You could make everybody sit.
Yeah.
Lisa, you were talking about babysitting.
Well, when you go to another kid's house, you know, the parents usually tell the kids, you know, you better obey the babysitter. And then when you get there, if you're able to hold the power with the kids long enough, you'll be able to tell them what to do, you know, when to go to bed or to get you something or to have to do this or you have to be quiet.
Do you enjoy having power over the kids that you babysit?
Yeah.
Make them do things?
Yeah.
Well, my little sister,
I
have control over her whenever my parents are gone. Like, I can tell her to pick up a room and stuff like that. Well, most of the time she doesn't pick up a room, but I feel like I have the power over her.
You can send her to bed when you want? And,
yes.
And what sort of threats besides, is your size what does it?
Well, I don't know. Probably my age and stuff.
What about you, Larry?
Like, whenever I, well, TV always has power over me because I watch it a lot.
Have you ever thought about how much power it has over you and tried to break the power?
No, I don't want to.
You don't want to break the power. No. You're a willing slave. Something else that has power over us while we're talking about things that have power is the telephone. How many times do you not answer the telephone when it rings?
None.
Never.
Never.
You go running right away, don't you, and answer
mm-hmm.
it. I've gotten now so that sometimes I don't answer it. I say I'm doing something else. If I weren't home, I wouldn't be hearing that telephone, and it's not going to have the power over me. And so I don't always answer the phone, but then, of course, if it rings long enough, you begin feeling guiltier and guiltier and guiltier, and you run and let things like that, the TV and the telephone, boss you around. What about the animal world? The whole animal world is very sensitively tuned to power. We had milking cows when I was growing up, and the cows would come into the barn in the same order every day because there was one cow that was the boss of the barnyard. And she'd come in first, and then the cow that was second in command would come in after that, and they all knew their place where they were going to go. Do you know what that's called?
Oh, big gets little.
Well, sometimes a small cow might be the one that would be in charge because of an aggressive nature or something. But it's called the pecking order, and it comes from the chicken yard or various bird colonies where there is a top bird, and that bird can peck every other bird, and then there is another bird who can only, it can peck every bird except the top bird, and then there's the third bird that can't peck the two top birds but can peck every bird under her. And in the chicken yard, you've always got some poor chicken that is at the very bottom of the pecking order, that she can't peck anybody and everybody can peck her. And she goes cowering and slinking around at the corners of the yard, and she usually has lots of feathers gone and looks in pretty bedraggled shape. But if you were to get rid of the bottom of the pecking order, why, then there'd just be another bird that would belong there. Have you ever noticed the order of power in, say, dogs in the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. There's always
mainly
one dog who, yeah.
In our neighborhood, we have lots of dogs that just run around loose. You know, most people don't have control of them. And there's this one big, gigantic Great Dane. I mean, she comes up to like about my hip. She has power over me.
Does she have power over all the other dogs, too?
Yes, they all run when she comes up.
Well, you know, if you watch dogs meeting each other, you can tell which dog is in command. If the dogs are equally matched and they both are boss dogs, so to speak, and they meet each other, they don't necessarily fight. They sort of stiff leg around each other and they hold their tails high, because as soon as you start letting your tail go down, that shows that you're a little bit scared. So the dogs hold their tails high and they stiff leg around each other and they growl and they threaten, but they don't fight because they're too equal, unless something happens to make them fight. And I read about how another dog nipped in once and took a bite out of one of these two dogs and it thought it was the other dog, and then there was a fight, you see. But usually, if they're very well matched, but then a second dog might come who is not as powerful as the first dog, and that dog will show it by having his or her tail lower and acting more cowardly. And then a puppy, have you ever seen what a puppy does? This is when it meets an older dog.
It whines.
What does it do, Laurie?
It's scared and whines.
It's scared and whines, but what? It immediately does something.
Runs.
No, it rolls over. It rolls over on its back and exposes its soft belly as if to say, look, 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 I'm just a little puppy. Nobody would hurt me. I'm just a little puppy.
We have dogs in our neighborhood that are really big and they're nice, and then there's little tiny ones that bark around all the time. And
The little ones are mean.
Lots
of little dogs are obnoxious.
And then big ones are really nice, and they roll over and they fall asleep all the time.
Have you seen dogs that will be very brave and powerful if there's a fence there? And bark and jump and
yes.
against the fence, and then if all of a sudden the fence is taken away, why, the dog is startled.
They won't even bark.
And will back up, because it can be very brave as long as it's protected. And then when there isn't any fence, why, the dog isn't that all sure it's got the power.
The reverse happened to me. No, I was walking home, there was a fence, and there was a dog barking at me, so I went bow-wow back to him. And then, I didn't know, but he climbed out from under the fence. And he stood right in front of me, and it was a great big dog. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sort of looking at him. And so I finally sort of ran across the street and crossed on the other side.
So he had the power over you.
But he was mean, and I don't think the owners knew he could get out. And it was scary, though, to see this great big dog get out from under a fence.
Back to the peck order in birds, there are a couple of good books that you might like to read. One is called Man Meets Dog by Conrad Lorenz, and that talks about dog behavior. And then there's another one about animal behavior in general. It's called King Solomon's Ring, and that's by Conrad Lorenz, too. And he tells the story in there of the peck order in a jackdaw colony, which is a kind of blackbird. And there the pecking order goes by the male. And so the male's wives, when a bird takes a wife, that bird has the same place in the pecking order that he has. So the top bird will take a wife, and that bird will be right up top. Well, the women in the whole society of the blackbirds are at the bottom of the pecking order until they get married. And then, of course, they're somewhere up on the line. And Conrad Lorenz observed this blackbird woman, a girl blackbird, and she was right at the bottom of the heap, and she was always getting pecked and was a miserable, miserable bird. Well, for some reason, the blackbird that was second in line chose her for his wife. And she all of a sudden came from being the one that everybody could peck to being the second in line because of her husband. And he said, you would think that she would show a little bit of compassion because she had been there and she knew what it was like to be at the bottom of the pecking order, he said, but no, she was just terrible. Once she got to be up into a position of power, she was as horrid as she could be to everybody underneath. How about teachers in school? Do they have power over you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some of them.
We haven't talked about teacher power, parent power.
Make you do all the homework.
Yeah.
Do the homework and they...
We have one teacher, though, who can't control her class. And whenever you're in there, she's always yelling, but nothing really happens. And
so she doesn't have the power.
So it's almost like the kids have power over her, because they carry on so much.
This used to be true with us and substitutes. Substitutes were fair game. And whenever the substitute came in, why, you'd have all sorts of way of showing your power over a substitute, such as giving your wrong names or sitting in wrong seats so she couldn't tell who you were. And
we once did that so bad we made a substitute cry. And I remember we had to have a team meeting, which is... like a group of students had to come together. And the meanest teacher on that sort of team, like of four classes, he yelled so much. We're all just sitting here, shrinking back from him when he came near us because he was so upset of it. But we dropped books, like at 10 o'clock, everybody dropped their books and just, oh. And she was an elderly lady.
Mm-hmm. That was a sort of a mean use of power, wasn't it? Did you feel bad afterwards, or was it only later on?
Well, some kids did. Uh-huh. Some kids said, oh, we had a blast and still talked about it. What? Well,
before we quit, let's talk about one other kind of power for just a second that we haven't talked about. We've talked about thing power, like telephones, and we've talked about animal power and people power. What about the power of things inside yourself?
Willpower.
Let's just throw that out. Willpower.
That's the hardest kind of power.
The kind to make yourself do the sort of things that you think you ought to do, but you don't always want to. What about things like fears and... phobias that have power over you. Can't go into a closed space.
I know a friend of mine, she has about a fear of everything. Like, if there's a dog, we have to walk home. And on this one street, there's dogs on both sides of the road, and she's scared of dogs. She'll walk in the middle of the road. She doesn't care about the cars. She just wants to get away from the dogs.
Well,
it's weird.
Today we've talked about all sorts of different kinds of power, things that we have power over and things that have power over us. So for our writing, let's write about I got the power or else I don't got the power. And fears, phobias, parents, teachers, little brothers, little sisters. There's a whole lot of things that we can write about that have to do with power. And thank you, all of you kids, for being with us today.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.